On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's basketball begins their postseason quest, baseball has the Palmetto Series, men's basketball season comes to a close, and a Gamecock wins the Darius Rucker Tournament. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 136 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I don't know about y'all, this week just kicked my ass. I mean, seriously, this is a long-ass week. I mean, I feel like the basketball team after playing Tennessee. Shit. It was a rough week, but looking forward to a weekend where I can just relax, put my feet up, and of course, watch our Gamecocks in action. There is a lot of action to preview this episode, a lot going on. You are going to be entertained this weekend from Friday to late Sunday. It's going to be very, very nice. I'm here to catch you up on all the action. Let's start with a week in review from this past week, starting with a fun announcement from the football team. That's right, we're talking football. It was formally announced that the spring game will be a night game yet again. 7 p.m., I think it's April 15th, if I'm not mistaken. So, spring game, Saturday night, under the lights at Willie B, the second year in a row that's happening. I love this. I absolutely love this. I hope this is our thing. I hope that the administration and Beamer are like, you know what? This is just awesome. Because if it works out with a baseball game that you can do a home game there and then go to the spring game, it's perfect. You can have all sorts of festivities outside and around Willie B leading up to the game. It's also not a chance to be like hot as hell cooking in the sun. I mean, spring games used to be at like noon. You'd be sunburned to watch the scrimmage. It's just 7 p.m. is great. And I was thinking about it, and this is the type of stuff where that development project around Willie B will be very fun, because you'll be able to go get something to eat, do some shopping, things like that, where you can just walk over to Willie B. It's not like this massive tailgating event. The spring game's a little bit more casual. So in like 4 years, we can all meet up and go shopping outside of Williams-Brice before the spring game. But that's a fun announcement, nevertheless. And then Tuesday, you had softball in action. They lost to Stetson 4-3. But then on Wednesday, softball was right back in action, this time beating North Carolina 9-1. UNC just needs to stop trying. Every time they try to beat us, no, doesn't work. South Carolina owns the Carolinas right now. I mean, find me a time in the last year and a half where UNC has beaten South Carolina. You can't do it. Going back to the Mayo Bowl, I'm pretty sure South Carolina has won everything against UNC. And if they haven't, it at least feels like it, and that's good enough for me. And then also from Wednesday, some big news from the women's golf team as Mathilde Kless won the Darius Rucker Intercollegiate Tournament. So how cool is that, that you have a Gamecock winning this event that was hosted by a fellow very famous Gamecock? So congrats to Mathilde and to the women's golf team. That is very, very exciting. Which brings me to men's basketball. So to catch y'all up, they were in action on Tuesday night in Starkville, Mississippi against Mississippi State. State has been good all year at creating turnovers and generating a lot of their offense from turnovers. And wouldn't you know it, that held true Tuesday night. The Gamecocks had 14 turnovers compared to just 9 from Mississippi State. I don't have the exact number as to how many points were scored off of turnovers, but I'd be willing to bet it's a lot. Double digits plus. And then, of course, Mississippi State had some guy just go absolutely off shooting the ball, had just a fantastic night. So everything was just piling on for the Gamecocks in Starkville on Tuesday. Gigi did have a very nice game. You know, you had Carolina down by 8 at the half. Despite that, though, this was a two-point game with 5 minutes left in the clock, right? But then the Bulldogs went on a run and just never looked back from there. So it was competitive. It was exciting for a lot of the second half there. Some player highlights here. Like I said, Gigi with a nice game had 22 points, 8 rebounds, and was a perfect 11 from 11 from the free throw line. Very impressive. Josh Gray had 12 points and 6 rebounds, and then Hayden Brown had 12 points as well. Next for South Carolina is the regular season finale. That's right. 1 p.m. at home against Georgia. And with that, you know, the regular season has crawled to a merciful and I'd say largely welcomed end. And it's tough. It's tough. I mean, y'all know me. I'm as big a USC fan as you'll find. I bleed garnet and black. I think that Carolina can win every game that we're in. I'm an optimist by nature. College basketball, when you have a winning, exciting college basketball team, the atmosphere it can create is electric. And we've all seen it. I mean, even at moments this year, like when you upset Clemson at home, like just the energy that you can get in an arena, because it's more intimate, you're closer there, is second to none. And I want that so badly for USC. And this year was just so not that. Now, look, I know that this was a very different year. Lamont Paris came into a roster that was gutted. Any playmaker left, right? You had any playmaker from the last tenure coach is gone. And then he had less of a recruiting time on top of it. It's a miracle he was able to get Gigi. I was never putting a win number on Lamont Paris. I wanted to see some progress. I wanted to see a different style of play. I wanted to see what he would look like on the sideline. So from that perspective, I feel like I got it, but it was still a tough year. And you have to find a way to improve off of it, and you just have to look forward. This was a tough, tough year, and I mean, it was just the team is just so thin, and when you look at it, if Lamont had come into a situation where he had a couple of holdovers, guys who had played in the SEC before, guys who had played at Carolina before, now you have two legitimate point guards, two legitimate shooting guards, that might be a little different, right? I mean, the development of a couple of these guys on the team this year was incredible progress. Jacoby Wright, Josh Gray. So I see the signs there, and I'm going to dive more into this at some point in the basketball's offseason as to what I'm looking for next year. I think next year it's fine to put some expectations on Lamont Paris. This year, it kind of is what it is. But with the transfer portal being what it is, with hopefully some improved recruiting in the Columbia area in South Carolina, hopefully this thing could get turned around sooner rather than later, because this year is certainly not it, but I understand some of the circumstances around it. And in going into this game here, Lamont Paris is trying to see if they can close out the regular season on a positive note and deliver the first home SEC win in their last game nonetheless. This team hasn't beaten an SEC team at home. I found that so hard to believe. I looked at the schedule like 3 times. So, yeah, that would be a pretty nice way to end the year. Currently, UGA is 16-14 overall. They are 6-11 in the SEC. My quote of the game is win the rebound battle. When you look at these two teams, they're just high-level stats. They're pretty comparable, honestly. So if I'm going to pick something, I'm going to say win the rebound battle, because that has been a little bit of an indicator for when South Carolina is in these SEC games, the ones they've won to. Josh Gray has to be a monster. GG has to be a monster. Even throw Hayden Brown there with a few. So this is a big game to watch to see what kind of effort and juice the team brings. And another big question is, will this be the last time we see GG Jackson on the court at Colonial Life? I mean, I think most of us are of the assumption he's going to jump to the NBA next year. Maybe there's a slight chance he stays, you know, NIL money, improve your draft stock, even though he did have a very solid freshman year. I mean, if I was a betting man, you know, which I am, I would bet that this is his last game on Colonial Life's floor, right? So it's going to be interesting to see. It was so fun to see him play, to have that high caliber player at USC. So watch it. Enjoy this game. Hopefully the guys can deliver a W for the home crowd in their finale. That would be so fun. And let's go Cox, you know, like never give up. After that, though, the Gamecocks will be at the SEC tournament, which kicks off next Wednesday. That's the 8th, and that is in Nashville. Let's just F around and win the SEC tournament. Automatic bid to the bid dance, huh? Let's go for it. Let's just shock the world and win the SEC. Why not? We were just saving our best to the end, huh? Which brings me to women's basketball. Speaking of postseason play, the postseason is here for the ladies. And really, I put this out on Twitter. The postseason is South Carolina's season. So let the games begin. I mean, really, with the SEC tournament underway, you know, this is the time that South Carolina was building towards, right? We are built to do some great things. This senior class has already done great things, and they can still have plenty more winning ahead of them. But now is the time for this team to shine. So the ladies will be in action in the tournament against Arkansas this Friday at noon. So that's actually the quarterfinals because of the bye that the Gamecocks got. So they're already in the quarterfinals. Arkansas is the number 8 seed in the tournament. They went 7-9 in the SEC this year. And if you remember correctly, you'll remember that the last time these two teams played, South Carolina won 92-46. So it wasn't exactly close, to say the least. So you want to bring that same edge, right? My crow to the game here is lean on that experience. There's going to be some nerves. There's going to be a lot of excitement. You know this team wants to win this tournament after what happened last year. So you have to just lean on the experience of the upperclassmen of this team and just get this thing rolling. I think this is a situation where once the ladies get going, and assuming you can move past Arkansas, any jitters will be gone. You're back in tournament play. This is what you're made for, and it's going to be fun to watch. Carolina's next game, should they advance, will be Friday at 4:30 against either Ole Miss or Texas A&M. And then should they advance, to the championship, that will be Sunday at 3 p.m. So it's looking like a collision course as a rematch against LSU. Maybe Tennessee gets their way in there, but it's going to be fun to watch. And this tournament has been fun. Did anyone catch the legitimate brawl between Kentucky and Florida? Like, there was a legitimate brawl in the first round. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. It just means more in the SEC, apparently. But let's go, ladies. We're all going to be rooting for you. Going to be a fun, very fun weekend of women's college basketball this weekend. which brings me to baseball. Big news, big weekend for the baseball team here. But really quick, they had a midweek game on Tuesday against North Carolina A&T. The Gamecocks beat the Aggies 11-3. And this was just the perfect game for a Tuesday afternoon, coming off a hard-fought competitive series with Penn, with, you know, that was really nothing but close games. Carolina got the scoring, started literally right away. Top of the first, or bottom of the first, rather. Will McGillis leading off with a home run. Mark Kingston had tinkered with the lineup this game and had McGillis leading off. So that will be something to watch over the next week or two. What does Kingston do with this lineup, especially in an important series like the one we have this coming weekend? But for this game, it was just consistent, steady offense, tacking on runs here and there. And then finally, Carolina had a big eighth inning with five runs, but you saw a lot of manufactured runs, getting guys on first or second, moving them over, driving them in with singles and doubles, which is just what you wanted to see after Carolina struggled with that a lot against Penn. James Hicks was your starter. He was really the opener. It was a bullpen game. He went two innings. Eli Jones was your winning pitcher, going three innings. Some player highlights for you here. Ethan Petrie went 2-for-3 with three ribbies. Cole Messina went 1-for-3 with two RBI. Talmadge Lecroy went 1-for-4 with two RBI. And it was just an all-around nice game for Carolina in the midweek. Now, next up for the Gamecocks, as I'm sure y'all know, it is a huge weekend series, the annual rivalry series against Clemsuck, that team in the upstate. So this is that series where they travel each game. Y'all know this. Friday, the game is in Clemson. Saturday, the game is in Greenville. And Sunday, the game is in Columbia. Now, so far this year, Clemson's kind of off to a slow start, and which is ironic because, you know, they fired Monty Lee. Thank you very much. We'll take him back. And so you're not exactly looking at a powerhouse of a team, but with that being said, they are a team that has a history of being solid. They have some good athletes. It's a traveling series, so there's a lot of variables in that. When the game's in Greenville, you know, that's obviously pretty close to Clemson as well. It's not exactly advantage Carolina there. I'd like to see that move every now and then, maybe to Charleston or something like that, but I digress. The pitching rotation for Carolina should be the same as it's been, with Sanders on Friday, Noah Hall on Saturday, and Jack Mahoney on Sunday. And then my crow to the series here is prioritize defense. With Mark Kingston tinkering the lineup a little bit previously, it's a little bit up in the air about who he's going to field. But I feel that defense should be prioritized with who is in this lineup and who is playing in what position. You need to put everyone at their position of strength. And if there's a person or two where you might have to sacrifice offense for the sake of defense, I'm okay with it in this series, just because of how well the rest of the team is hitting. But this is a huge series for this team. The Gamecocks cannot afford to be surrendering runs due to errors and things like that. Last year, this series went about as poorly as you could have hoped for if you're the Gamecocks. Based off how the season has started this year, you need to win this series if you're Carolina. Not only will that send a message throughout the state and to Clemsuck that, hey, you know what, you had fun last year, like, we're back, but it's going to energize that entire clubhouse. Not that the fan base needed any more juice, but it's going to juice us up. And that will show, honestly, all these writers and people that have rankings and things like that, that South Carolina is for real. You know, should be higher ranked. More respect on our name and everything that goes along with it. So this is a big series. And I think going up against a pretty decent Penn team was a very good preparation for that. You had about as good of a midweek game as you could have hoped for. A lot of guys getting in the action offensively, and pitching has to do what they've done. The bullpen has to continue to be locked down, guys like Kate Austin. So it's going to be a very, very fun series. And you know what? Let's go, Cox, and to hell with Clemson. Let's go. Let's go for the freaking – let's get the whole thing. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to jinx it. But nevertheless, that wraps up this episode, y'all. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.